Yes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey, man. How's it going out there? It's going all right. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's a little bit snowy. It's a little bit cold, but we are back. My name is Joe. Joe Carabello, indeed. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, writer, and definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But today, sir, madam, whatever you are, I'm a podcaster. And across from me is one of the greatest minds, creative people I've ever met in my whole entire life, as usual. Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm doing good. I like how now you have to reference people by sir, madam, or whatever.
Whatever
you are.
Whatever you want to be called. So I got to cover all of them. That's the main thing.
Everybody.
Because people get sad when they get left out.
Because people are people.
Yes.
And comics are people.
That's right.
And today, in studio, we have our first guest of 2017, Troy Jeffrey Allen.
Hey, Troy.
Hey, guys. I'm a people.
That's right.
I count as people.
You count as many
you
people.
Are.
How's it going, man?
I'm cool. I'm doing all right.
My memory is a little weak about this, but have you ever been on the podcast before?
No, I've never been on the
podcast.
We've been on yours,
right?
Yeah, you guys, at least twice.
We've podcasted together, but you've never officially been on the Carolyn and Joe Show.
Right. Yeah,
Welcome to the Carolyn and Joe Show, sir.
Thank you very much.
It almost feels like that we always do shows together, like on a podcast, but no, this has only been like... It's certain, like, one on our side.
We do a lot of things, I kind of feel. Mm-hmm. We orbit around each other quite a bit.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that, I've been on the Carolyn and Joe Show.
Well, welcome to the show. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, man.
This is where everything has happened since a long time.
Since the dawn of time.
We have not changed this format forever. Not even the mics have changed. Not even the recorder.
It's okay. I can smell it. It's great.
I added this. Carolyn has her own soundproof wall.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about this. Like, are we gonna throw fruit at her or something? It's like a Gallagher show. Is that what's going on?
I need a protection
because we do multiple things here in the studio, like record voiceover and music and stuff like that. Right. So on her stand, it just kept on adding more sound separating and popping blocking and all types of stuff, and I just never took it down.
Okay.
I need the extra help, Troy.
You're soundproof. I get you.
And for those of you who don't know, just to give you a little catch up on Troy, he is a writer. He writes a comic called Bam.
It's true.
And he also works directly with me to do the Cartoonist Draw Blood Drive every fall.
Yeah.
And he does a whole bunch of other stuff. Like, I feel like I've known you for a really long time. And
yeah.
We've always connected at the comic shows and everything.
Yeah, no, that's kind of funny. It's like, I feel like I have like friends who I don't know how I met them. I just know that I know them.
They're always in your life.
And you guys are like that.
You're like, when did I first meet
I don't know people? When I first met Carolyn and
Probably
Joe.
Probably at a comic show.
More than likely.
I actually don't even know.
I don't remember.
I have no clue.
I just
when
know that
it started.
I had talked to you guys a handful of times, and then we started to get along, and now we're podcasting together.
That's all that needs to happen.
That's all that needs to happen.
That's right.
All you got to do is talk to people.
That is the key to life right there.
It is, yeah.
But now Carolyn's news music is hitting.
I hear the news music. So you guys, in January, in a few days away, January 20th, which is also Inauguration Day, so heads up for that if you're in Washington, D.C., you can check out the band Monday Mistress playing at The Pinch.
Hey, that's my band.
Yeah.
Or the band that I'm in.
And you're playing at 11 p.m.?
Yeah.
That's when you go on?
Well, I've come to realize that, like, when you're outside the city, time, like, you know, like, show times are a little bit different than when you're inside the city.
Mm-hmm. Like the night is just beginning.
Yeah, literally, that's when stuff starts happening.
When some people have already been in bed for hours.
Yeah.
Totally fair. More like me.
So if you're around in D.C. on Friday, January 20th, please check out Monday Mistress. Mm. Is there any tickets or how's that work? Are you just
pretty much you can just go up to the door and buy a ticket, walk right in.
So that sounds pretty amazing.
There's definitely a Facebook. You can also check out information on MondayMistress.com for all the other Facebook page link to the event and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And since we're almost into February, I might as well do some February dates. February 4th, I'm going to be at the U.S. National Archives for their sleepover. We've done this before a few times. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You have to be a certain age to be in the sleepover. I don't remember the exact age because they don't allow like adults unless you're chaperoning a child to go.
Oh, that's the easy way
in. That's your in, you know. You have to find...
You have to foster a child, or you have to create one.
Grab one and take them into
pick a child.
Yeah,
child.
You loves the she loves art.
That's exactly what the National Archives wanted you to do when they came up that way.
Just find a child, maybe, or maybe, you know, like, you don't have to do it so criminal, but maybe
you're
there's...
like, hey, kid, do you like drawing?
Maybe there's a niece you have, or, you know, that, or like, you know, a coworker's friend who might loan you their kid for the night, you know?
Or an ice cream truck. Or,
You know, just find a kid and take them to the archive sleepover. And it's really cool because those kids are very into history. They're really into history. And if you know any local child that's in history, take them to this event. They'll love it. Mm. And I shouldn't even just say local, because people come from all other states. Like, they're coming in from vacation and stuff. They acknowledge everybody from all different states in the very beginning. And there's like I'd say a large majority of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe not majority, but a large portion of them are from out of town. Yeah. But also in February, Monday Mistress is also playing The Pinch again, this time at 10 p.m. It's a little bit, you know, easier, a little bit hour earlier than last time, but it's February 17th. That's also a Friday. And in February, we're going to try out this new comic convention show. I'm not really too sure what exactly it's going to be, but the cool thing is that it's right before a Washington Wizards game, so we can exhibit our comics at the Verizon Center, and that is on February 26th. It's a Sunday, and it starts at 10 a.m. and goes till 2 p.m., and so Joe and I are planning to exhibit our comics there, and if anyone else is interested in learning more, I can give you more info, and we'll probably put up more info at curls-studio.com.
Also, so at the end of, is at the end, I forget what the date is, January 27, 28, don't I have, my film Magic Trick is playing in the Rosebud Film Festival.
Oh, it is.
Oh, nice.
So,
is that a Monday, Tuesday?
No, I think, whatever that last, maybe the last weekend of January.
Okay, well, that's when,
on Saturday.
You mean January or February?
January.
All right, so I don't have that in my calendar, but
that's
now
cool.
I know.
You're not invited.
Now I know. The last weekend in January, we'll look for it. Your film,
I think that's when it is.
Is got into the Rosebud Film Festival, and you're going to be in it. So that's pretty awesome, Joe. Congratulations.
Yeah,
the 28th. It's going to play at 3 o'clock the 28th over in the Rosebud Film Festival.
We're excited for
you. I'll start promoting it. I'll promote it more.
Yeah.
You'll see me on other people's shows.
Let the world know.
So we have a lot of stuff coming up. It's only like the first 2 months, so that's exciting.
What do you got, Troy? Troy, you got some stuff people want to know about, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, every Wednesday, actually starting this Wednesday coming up, which is the 11th, I think it is, BAM continues. We took a little, like, holiday break. We literally stopped in the middle of a fight. So
that's how you do it during the holiday.
You're like,
The winter holiday. Sweeps. Right. What is it on television?
Well, you know, like so BAM is a wrestling comic. And so we equate it to like when you're watching SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of like a brawl, they go to commercial.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So we went to commercial for like about two weeks. And BAM's going to pick back up again. And like, if you've been following the comic, the main character is actually duking it out with the coach of the high school that is the backdrop for this story. So you can pick it up at any time. It's BAM Comics, BAMN, not BAM, BAMN comics.com.
It's crucial, that .com.
It is. Well, that N is crucial, actually, apparently.
Yeah, gotta have that N.
So I never really asked, like, how did BAM start? Was that something where you had festering in your mind, or was that like an on the spot collaborative with you and Jay, the artist? He's the only artist that's been on right?
It's he and I, it's our baby. So Jay had a rough concept for a character called BAM, and the way that worked was like he had like sketches basically. Like he knew that I think the original sketch was actually like. Someone much shorter. If you've seen the character, he's a much shorter character, and he had a baseball bat, and like that was Jay's big thing. It was like very much inspired by extreme wrestling,
yeah.
Like, because it was like 2007, I want to say. So like that was still a thing, you know.
What do you mean?
I just like I mean,
what is extreme wrestling? What was that? What do you mean, like hardcore stuff? Or
like
the
hardcore
Japanese
stuff? Well, like CZW.
Oh, okay,
like
okay.
We were pretty far removed from ECW at that point, but like. You know, CZW, stuff like that. Like, I guess that's kind of where he was going with it.
Yeah.
And it just so happened, Jay and I were both working at the comic book store at the time. We started talking about this idea, and I always had an old idea that I wanted to bring, like put into something. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys know this about me, but like I trained to be a pro wrestler for like about 11 months.
So almost a year?
I think I knew a little bit about that.
Yeah, I trained to be a pro wrestler for like 11 months. And I did it, and like about halfway through, because I was in college at the time, I was like, this is insane. What am I doing? I need to stop this now.
that's exactly how you know that it's not meant for you.
It's not meant for me.
Because it literally is insane.
And I'm one of those people, like, I'm going to keep trying this until it works. But there was one of those moments where I was like, I don't think I should be doing this.
Well, was there a moment?
Because you know,
11 months is a long time to do that training.
It is. Like, I think it was just like,
How much training was that, though? Is that like twice a week?
I want to say at that point, it was like maybe two or three times a week.
Okay, so that's for 11 months of doing that.
Yeah,
You're like, I got in this great shape for no reason.
Well, and I had already been backyard wrestling. And like, don't get me wrong, that's not the same thing. But at the same time, I was sort of like used to kind of like doing stupid things to myself.
Yeah, yeah. I understand. We both have that history.
We've had that talk, yeah. And like, one of the things that I was trying to convince the promoter of this Fed that never got off the ground because it was supposed to be an up and coming Fed. One of the things I tried to convince the promoter was to like, well, why don't you do a thing where like the backyard guys invade the pro wrestling?
Thing. Oh, okay.
And like the pro wrestling guys are kind of like, you know, and this I mean, I was like 22.
And this is what 2007, so
like
right?
No, this is way earlier. This is like 2002. I want to say.
Okay, then because I feel like there's definitely that moment. There was definitely that era of like. Frowned upon backyard wrestling.
Oh yeah, and that's why I wanted to do it, because like my whole thing was like, you know, let's have like this clash of like ideals about like, you know, well, what we do is wrestling too, and you know, the pro wrestlers are like, this is not what you do, is not wrestling, and it's dangerous and stupid.
And then you're like, dude, it's all fake.
And it's all fake.
it doesn't matter. It's all make believe. Come on.
Yeah.
But the cool thing, looking back on it now, is that as a writer, you can take from those experiences of actually being training for wrestling.
Yeah.
And work that in.
And that's kind of how BAM came about, because like I kind of pitched it to Jay, but I pitched it a little bit differently, which was like, how about we take a pro wrestler, we like kind of like bring him back to zero, right? Like he's been ostracized, kicked out of the industry, whatever you want to call it. And he has to like teach these backyard wrestling kids how to fight. And we're like, well, why would he do that? And we're like, well, you know, they're getting bullied by kids at school and they look up to him. So he's like, I'm going to teach you guys how to fight back, you know? And yeah, okay, we said wrestling's fake. But at the same time, I have the scars from a figure four on my leg that I received in like 12th grade. So
how did that happen?
Because someone really applied to figure four and it hurt.
Did it literally break your leg?
No,
on
just enough to like break the skin, and that scar is still there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. That's never happened before. So, I've never even heard of that happening before, man. What's up with that?
I mean, you know, that's what happens. And like, so like with that understanding, I was like, you know, there are things that he could teach these kids to defend themselves that are actually grounded in reality that are like offensive or defensive. And so Jay liked that idea, and then we kind of like started fleshing out the rest of the cast from there. And somewhere along the line, Bam got bulkier. I don't know when that happened or how, but Bam just became this behemoth.
He's pretty big.
It's because he trained.
It's because he trained, I guess.
Yeah, he went from zero to hero.
I don't think I've ever seen the like Hercules. I like that.
I don't think I've ever seen like the Wolverine size Bam, or have I?
It wasn't even like it was like the difference between Spike Dudley and like. And like Hulk Hogan.
You know who spiked up?
Like that happen? I don't know. That transition just happened. Like, I'm not sure when it happened.
Like Jay was just like, he didn't say anything. He just drew it.
He's like, I need more muscles. And I was like, all right, fine. Okay.
Spike Dudley kind of reminds me of that new dude that looks like E.T.
Ellsworth?
Looks like
James
E.T.
James Ellsworth. Have you seen James Ellsworth?
I don't think I have, no.
There's like, I guess they were making fun of him and saying that he looks like E.T. But he's, you know, he's like a little dude.
He's a little dude, see?
Yeah. A little wrestler, but he's from Maryland.
Oh, yeah, so okay. We get some talent around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I forget, we're in Virginia, sorry.
I like to count some Maryland.
You know, this ain't really Virginia.
This isn't really Virginia.
it's all DMV.
It's all DMV.
You know, your side of the state and my side of the state, we're all just one state.
And DC's stuck in the middle. We're all like kind of an extension of Washington, DC around here.
Literally
it's like
what
a donut
is.
With DC in the middle is a swamp.
Right.
So I'm gonna jump right into it. We're gonna start this segment, the first time we're ever doing this segment. So online, when we announced it last week that we're actually gonna be doing a segment called the Carolyn and Joe Show Answers Your Big Question, in which anyone online can post a comment or send us a message or tweet asking us any big question, whether it's like, you know, the truth of this or what is the meaning of the universe, blah, 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 blah. And we'll flesh it out and answer it as honest and true as we possibly can. And before the show started, I have a whole bunch of questions. I'm happy we got a whole bunch, but since Troy was the guest here, we had him start, or not him start, but choose what question to answer, because I really didn't know how to do it. But we did get a question from on Instagram from Naughty Gogo. I think Carolyn knows her. But the question goes like this. Actually, Troy, you should read it. Okay. It sounds more fair if you do it.
It's this is like so depressing now. I kind of wish I didn't choose this. sorry, Naughty Gogo. How much longer will the human race survive?
So that's the question. We are answering how much more longer will the human race survive?
Yeah.
So that's usually a tough, I mean, that is a tough question. And I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. That is actually, and when I was sitting like in earth science in high school, mm-hmm. and I think my teacher was like Mr. Ellenberger or something like that. Mm-hmm. We would somehow get into the conversation of like, so you know, like California is going to, he's like, California is eventually going to sink in the ocean. And then, yeah, probably so is the DC side and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Oh then we're God. All like, oh my God, so the whole world's going to end like that? We're all just going to sink into the ocean? He's like, yeah, that's possibly, probably true. And like, I was really afraid of that. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, but it's probably going to be like a million, like, I don't know how many, they always go like, by eras
and stuff like that.
But that was actually something I thought about.
But that window keeps getting smaller and smaller.
Does it really? Is it getting smaller?
It's weird because this morning I just read an article, like, you know, like groggy, waking up in sleep, so I don't remember the exact details. But there's a sliver of like this large sheet of ice that just kind of like fractured. Like
Where?
In like Antarctica or something like that. I can't
all remember. That is ice.
Yeah, all it is ice. But it's large enough that like it's going to eventually part with like another large sheet of ice, and it's going to like pretty much just shift the entire, like, I don't know, the geography of our planet,
and
or
it's going
like
to smash into the United States.
I don't like that. That's
so
like
someone basically figure forward Antarctica, right?
Okay, split it up,
right? Exactly.
But you're saying that's going to cause like the big shift.
I don't know if it's going to be a big shift, but it's going to be apparently. Like, see, I read this at like at 7 a.m., so I'm not doing a very good job.
But what if it's going only like an inch a year?
Well, see,
like, I don't know how fast it's going.
I think that was a problem because it was something like 11 miles. Like there was like apparently it was like this large chunk of ice and 11 miles of it like just kind of fractured. And so they're kind of like, well, eventually that large sheet of ice is going to start floating in another direction and it's going to shift the geography of our planet in some way, shape or form because, I don't know, polarized caps and melting and
but
you, like
you've
global
seen,
warming.
But, you've seen how like the planet like officially, well, like originally started though, right? It was like one giant
continent.
Yeah, and then it like broke apart.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
like a broken glacier or something. Yeah, like that.
But yeah. How did it break apart?
The atom bomb? I don't know.
The atom bomb?
The original atom bomb? See, I always had this awesome idea of like different civilizations that existed before our civilization, mm-hmm. before our recording of time. Because mm-hmm. like there's so many years. It's like we only, live like under 100?
Yeah.
And like the world's been around for billions of years.
Yeah.
I'm just like, is it like, there's no way that like, oh, this civilization's only really been important at this time.
Right, no. Okay, there's been a lot of transition for
us.
I actually had an interesting conversation with somebody like not too long ago because we're going to get heady, so this is going to happen.
Let's go.
Is it heady?
a little bit. But like we were talking about how like race is like a social construct.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have two thoughts on this because I'm like, is race a social construct? Like I know that like how we divide people up in terms of like Asian, Black, White,
I didn't divide them up though.
Well, right. So, but somebody did, and that's what makes it a social construct. But at the same time, and like it makes me wonder, was like, well, is it a social construct? Because eventually, all the continents were like just one giant,
landmass,
and nature decided that we were going to get separated, and by doing so, our skin tone changed, our language changed. Like everything about us changed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is that really a social construct? That's not really something that man decided. To me, the social construct means that man decided that we're all different.
Like, and if anything, based off of that social construct, it's like the changing of the skin tone, the changing of all that was just man's or woman's survival, mm-hmm. or just climate like adjustment.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just what's going to happen. It's like,
but I think the social part that comes in is the prejudice.
You're right. Yes.
I think that's a personal vendetta. If anything, that's going to end the world. It's going to be a personal vendetta someone's going to be like. Yeah. No, and then everyone's gonna be like, "I guess you're the master."
Everybody's gonna bow.
That's what's gonna happen.
Well, let's get back to the original question. Yeah, the question is, when do you think the human race is? Yeah. So, like, if you think about it, to me, that's like getting down to the very last person.
Well, I don't know.
So either in terms of like you know some asteroid hitting the whole planet, then everyone's gone, right?
Well, you remember there was I forget what year it was, but like the solar flare. From Earth,
right,
or they had that movie called Knowing too, which like that's when the
right.
I think we're probably
rough as Nicolas Cage movie.
It all comes down to Nicolas Cage
or Alex Proyas.
He'll be the last human.
He'll be the last.
I think that's Alex Proyas' last good movie or potential good movie.
Oh, yeah,
remember him?
That is Alex Proyas, the Crow director.
Yeah. Uh-huh. After that, Gods of Egypt. No one.
He did Dark City, right?
Yeah, but that was before.
That was before. Okay. Yeah,
like Knowing was the. Like the moment where I'm like,
yeah, he just
is it possible for some asteroid to hit the Earth and like, let's say it's a smaller asteroid, uh-huh. and let's say it.
Well,
hits...
then we do get hit by smaller asteroids all the time.
Or, but let's say it's like a medium asteroid then, mm-hmm. like right. not just like a little rock, you right. know, like
something enough
like
to
something
like
that can actually
humanity.
Do something, but maybe not destroy the whole planet. Like, could it just like hit one continent, like Asia or something, and then all of Asia is messed up, but then everyone else is still alive? See, I don't know how that works.
Well, I think it has larger effects on like, you know, other parts of the country, or I'm sorry, other parts of the planet. So it would, even if it did hit Asia, it would alter the geography of our planet.
It would
we still be alive as a human race?
Maybe. I see I shouldn't have chosen this question because this is a very science-y question.
But here's the greatest thing.
We're not scientists. We're just rolling with it.
But here's the greatest thing because what? Like Nadia said, what, the end of the human race?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, human race is what? We're probably going to evolve into something.
Yeah.
The end of, I feel like
we're going to evolve into robots.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think we won't be the human race though.
Yeah.
We'll be humanoids.
I feel like the only way for them to be a legit end of the human race is one, just total extinction, or like a rebrand.
Like since everyone's turning into robots, mm-hmm. let's say you know there might be some I don't know, some like African culture that like they don't have any technology and they're not going to have a chip in them until like way later than everyone else. So they'll still be humans,
okay, yeah, right.
But everyone else will still have like a laser eye or like, you know, whatever, some type of
laser
eye. I don't know, like some type of like,
I mean, that's
chip.
Reality. I mean,
like, do you want your ears pierced or laser eye?
Right, yeah.
Like they're going to have some type of mechanical functioning, like half.
Well, you're talking about, I think they call that like transhumanism or something like that.
Okay.
Whereas like people really are like, I mean, this is actually a thing.
It is a thing.
People are actually like, you know, putting like robotics into their body. I'm not a scientist, so I can't like, you know.
Well, there's also the thing of like people that want to live forever.
That's part of it.
It translates to it.
And so like, I think I do find that interesting. I find it creepy. I'm not going to lie. I got to be honest with you guys.
Should be honest with us.
Yes.
Because you always are.
I always am. I've thought about this every now and then. I'm like, the first sign of like sentient life from a robot, I'm mm-hmm. going to be on the side of the mob. I totally am. I'm going to try to kill that fucking thing.
But maybe we'll kill each other if there's like a human, mm-hmm. you know, humanoid, whatever people. And then there's like straight up people that are like vowing to be human. They're mm-hmm. never going to get surgeries.
Right, yeah.
They're like, I'm 100% human. Mm-hmm. But then you can't tell like who's human and who's not.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then
that's interesting.
There's a battle there. I feel like there's always going to be those tribes that won't get affected.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, there's always going to be a resistance.
Yeah.
As someone reminded me fairly recently after the election, he's like, you know, Americans rebel. Like, I mean, that's kind of like, I know it sounds like a Star Wars line right now, but like, I mean, but at the same time, that's kind of like, you know, it's ingrained in us. And I think it's ingrained in humans. Like, we just don't like to be told what to do.
I mean, yeah. I don't like being told. I don't even like listening.
Yeah. What have we been talking about the last 5 minutes?
But like,
is there a date you want to give Nadia?
Oh yeah, hard date.
A date? Well, I mean, let's think about
this. I think that's what she's looking for.
Well, if we're getting to the science of it, and if we're gonna go with the theory of robots making like erasing the human race, like AI and technology is going pretty fast.
Yeah, it is.
You saw? Have you been paying attention to that? The Google AI or whatever they have on Twitter? Have you heard about that? Where they set up pretty much? They had like a I guess it was Google or someone gave a Twitter account like its own Twitter account. And at the beginning,
I did hear about this, yeah.
And then, like, what was it? Like, in the matter of, like, 48 hours, it became, like, super racist.
It just started
talking
about racism and porn. And
because it's supposed to react to the way the humans are treating
That's
it.
Horrible.
And then everyone was just, like, freaking, like, trolling the hell out of
it. It was getting input from, like, what people were saying online.
Yeah.
I guess to it directly.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, it kind of flipped around, and it was, like, pro-Trump, and, like, it wanted porn, and, like, you know.
It's funny
it was racist. And
how did it want porn? Was it just like, give me porn? Like, what were the tweets?
Well, it's funny because they gave her like such a nice face. It's like a her, and she's nice face, a normal looking robot looking girl.
That's how
girl.
Everyone wants their robots to be, some hot, nice chick.
Yeah, it's like, isn't it? That's kind of a weird thing, right? It's
where
like,
are
always
the male
that.
Robots?
There are never any male robots.
There's always,
you know what I think it is?
Some hot chicks.
I think people by default trust women. And I think that's why they always do that. There's always a female, like, you know, robot,
like
female
a
AI. Yeah.
But I was watching.
Cortana and Siri are both like female voices. And, you know.
I was like, it was so amazing how, like, that was the epitome of, like, that's why we can't have nice things.
Yeah.
That's like they gave that robot and artificial intelligence like a chance.
Yeah.
And then people just instantly just ruined it real fast.
But and to go back to the subject, but like I think that's how we'll become undone.
Yeah, that's what
it is, because
robots
like these,
will ruin us.
Well, I think I mean there's other things we were talking about earlier about like, you know, like global warming and all this other stuff. I feel like global warming is more likely than an asteroid hitting us. But I would probably
That's just us screwing ourselves over.
But at the same time, I think like the other flip side of that is that like I would say the close runner up would probably be AI.
Yeah. Dude, especially how fast things are happening now.
Yeah, we're advancing so fast. Yeah. And it's kind of like ridiculous and a little scary.
Like I'm almost giving like at this point, maybe like 10 years ago, I'm like, nah, Skynet's fine.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening to that. Mm-hmm. Now all I look around everything, I'm like, that's Skynet. Freaking everywhere.
Yeah. Well, what
even when you see like facial, like, and when you go on Facebook,
facial recognition.
Yeah. That's Skynet. Skynet's going to control everything. Like, mm-hmm. I always thought like the biggest biggest potential AI or the biggest potential like revolution of what robots could come from, mm-hmm. would be Anonymous. It's like, yeah. After everything that's done, it becomes just one entity, and people don't know they're working for the. They don't know they're working for this bigger, big.
I thought
bad.
You meant like Anonymous turns out to just be a bunch of robots.
No. But like, no. But see, that's how it can start. Anonymous is feeding it, and then it's getting collected somewhere,
programmed.
And then they have so much information. Then all of a sudden, it starts.
They're
just
all
becoming,
hackers.
Yeah.
That's a thing, right? Yeah. So.
But what about like CRISPR? If people can do the select DNAs, so like, let's say you want the
CRISPR,
you want a blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby.
Oh yeah.
Is of course they will be human, but if you're selecting the DNA, does that count? Like,
would it be human? You mean?
It would be human.
Well, I mean, that's still like.
I guess
that's still genetic manipulation. So I guess that wouldn't be it. It would be human, right?
It would, but it wouldn't. You know. So like, that's getting very big right now.
Yeah, too. That is getting big. Yeah.
People want these designer babies, or they want to like take certain DNA they're learning that might be, you know, a problem or you know, some type of disability, and they're trying to take it out. But now some scientists are rebelling against that because. Apparently, some forms of like autism are also considered genius.
Right. Yeah.
And so they're like
getting rid of all the artists.
if you're taking these away, then you're getting rid of some of the, like somebody that could be a major
an inventor or something like
Isaac Newton or you know some type of you know person that will change the world in terms of that way of thinking.
Yeah. In our outlook. No, and I think that's totally valid. Like, the designer, it's such a weird thing. Designer babies, just the name itself.
Eddie Bauer baby.
A privileged thing to be like, this, I'm going to select my perfect.
Designer baby.
This is the day you walk into like this Apple store looking room.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine it's like the Coke machines. Where you go into the restaurant where it's like, I want Fanta and I want, you know.
That's exactly how everything's probably going to be.
And that's probably
button,
how, like, even like
response.
Your boyfriend or something, you can be like, this is what I want my perfect girlfriend or boyfriend to be.
Yeah,
and then, like, you just, they just, it just will, like, 3D print it for you.
Maybe it's like, just, yeah, maybe it's just my job right now. I don't, maybe this is why, but, like, I keep seeing, like, Japanese like sex dolls or
they're very big. You know, like, right
what do you mean that's because of your work?
I work for a.
Okay. No, I mean like do they it like. Mm-hmm. On ads or just like in general, I turn around, you're like, why we got another one?
It's weird because I work for
people like sending them to you.
No, it's like it's weird because
they're everywhere. I mean,
it's like 50-50.
It's like Troy, you need to you're doing all these other reviews. Can you review this one real quick? Like, why do I always got to review this one?
See, it was funny. Like, I don't even do review. Like, it's like I work for a distributor, but our distributor deals with a lot of like geek culture stuff like that. And so it's interesting because like you see like a lot of like kind of like you see like, you know, you see sculptures and toys and like all this other stuff. And I think it's because my Facebook page is like really my professional page. I handle social media for our company. And so I think because of that, Facebook kind of like gives me news about stuff that I like normally wouldn't look up. Yeah. So for some reason,
but apparently it is normally what you'd look because they're paying attention to your thoughts and needs.
I guess they are. Yeah. But like, you know, they'll see like, oh, you like Japanese toys. And it's like, well, no, because my distributor's like, you know, got stuff from Bandai. Yeah, and that's why I'm doing
it. Vinyl toys are very popular.
But then eventually, like, there'll be this whole thing. There'll be like a video of like, you know, Japanese, like, you know, designers, like, you know, somewhere are like, you know, perfecting like the perfect woman. And like, there's some guy like hugged up on a female robot or something like that.
Oh,
and
I'm
like,
gosh. That stuff is very prominent though. Like, I've seen a couple articles just this past year about like, I guess they have some type of toy sex expo in Japan.
Yeah,
and it's very prominent. It's not just like a hidden like secret thing. It's straight up out there, and like people are getting those robots, and apparently like I've read articles too about like the Japanese people aren't even like procreating, aren't really even having sex. And then, like, they save it for, like, if they do have it, it's more like a special occasion, but no one really wants to do it.
Yeah.
That's like,
and see, I think that's the other, again, back to the technology thing. Like, I think that's another aspect of it that we have to kind of, like, be aware of is, like, we talk about, like, okay, the sci-fi version of this is, like, AI takeover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, we get into, like, the war against the machines, right? Like, Terminator style. But the other flip side of that is, like, people stop doing it. Like, you know, like people like are too busy playing on their phones or like,
that's
you know,
true.
Watching porn or like, you know, playing with their sex dolls or just kind of like, I mean, we've seen examples of this now where like they have the internet cafes where people are just playing video games for like hours and hours and hours and guys just drop dead because they're like dehydrated. They aren't eating, like, you know, and like,
that's a bad way to go.
So you're saying
it's a horrible way to go.
So you're saying it's almost going to be like the Children of Men ending. Or it's going to be like, okay, no one
I'm so glad you referenced that movie. I love that movie.
Oh, I actually think that that's a good, Joe, I think that that's a good analysis of this question.
Mm-hmm. What?
Children of Men.
I think about the end of the world a lot.
I just repurchased that movie recently. Like
really?
This past week.
Why? What happened?
I just like, I used to have it.
You had it on standard def?
I'm an obsessive steelbook collector. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Why?
I'm an obsessive steelbook collector.
There's no gain.
There's no gain, but I just want them. And
well, sometimes they're at good prices, though.
And so Children of Men was on steelbook.
That has a cool cover, though. That has a cool cover.
Yeah. So, and I grabbed up immediately.
And it's Clive Owen.
I mean,
like, I don't know.
How can you get any better than that?
This is a good question because literally almost every single Black Magic Tales story that we put into the Magic Bullet, which is going to come out, I'm about to come out soon. There's always a version of the end of the world in it.
Really?
When Carol and I had to do, when we did the first big splash page, of course I was like, what do I want to do?
You mean the two pages?
The two pages. Yeah. I was like, well,
the centerfold.
Mm-hmm. I was like, of course. What's another version of the end of the world? I was like, I want to crash the moon into planet Earth.
You're right.
Oh my god.
So I was like,
actually, I think I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I always have these ideas of that. You know,
right, yeah.
Every single one has a version of like what's going to cause the end of the world, and it's like the moon crashing to the Earth. Why?
I think you guys both tapped into something. I think Children of Men might be more our reality. Like that movie has proven to be like I'm going to say prescient. I think that's how you say that word. But that movie's always been like that movie even back then kind of felt like it was like tapped into like all the things that had happened.
Yeah.
Things that were happening and things that were like inevitable for the human race, which I think is why that movie's so great.
I mean, now like with the real question of like how far, because when I was envisioning the robot takeover, I was trying to put myself, you know, I was going to give my family a chance and say like, okay, well, hopefully like 200 years from now, because I'll be out
like,
of it by
you're
now.
Like, we'll be out. I think we'll survive. Like, I don't think the world's going to end during our lifetime.
Well, that's what I said. That's what I'm betting for.
But I do actually think it's going to last longer than what we're thinking.
I think that's fair.
I think it's going to be a few more maybe even a billion years. Like
it has to be. I mean, you know, a billion years is a long time.
It's a very unless
imagine 1 year. Then
but
imagine
unless some like
a billion.
Huge rock, unless some huge asteroid or something does. And I have read articles too that say like it's actually more feasible than we think. So, and I don't know about the timeline of things, but like, you know, the other thing is like asteroid could happen. We're floating around in space. Like, I don't know what else is out there. What if some giant rock comes and hits us? Yeah. I have no idea.
I mean,
they did
say, okay, so when the dinosaur, you know, when the dinosaurs went extinct because of they never named the asteroid, right? Just the asteroid.
The Big Bang.
The asteroid.
No, that's not the Big Bang. The Big Bang is when the universe was created.
Oh, well, okay, that's right. But I thought of it as a second Big Bang.
But I think there's a name for the asteroid that hit. Yeah, I just don't know what
but
it is.
But you know, when the asteroid hit...
And killed the dinosaurs.
It didn't kill the dinosaurs because it just killed that level. But then you had a level of still like a, you know, dinosaurs transformed and evolved into something else. Yeah, so it's birds or whatever they wanted to call
it. So you think we're going to mutate is what you're saying?
Yes. It's going to be just like in the movie AI. Remember the movie AI? Remember the movie AI? Did you ever see that one?
Oh, yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah. And then at the very end, then, you know, spoiler for people who don't see it. Like,
yeah, it's been over a decade. Get over it.
Robots are the last ones on the... Or that robot is the last one on the... Yeah. That's probably how it's
like the aliens just kind of like come in to scoop up what's left.
But you know, also people have those bunkers these days. So I don't know how safe those bunkers are if those can withstand. If they know, like, hey, an asteroid's coming in 30 minutes, we know it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, if everyone
those
can
30
get,
minutes,
but if everyone can get in a safe bunker, then that means that humanity will still survive.
You're
going to
see people's true intentions in that last 30 minutes. Man.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see them. They'll be like, I got to spend the next 20 years in this bunker with that person. They're going to elbow them. They're going to stiff arm them
out.
Well,
you know, bring up another Spielberg movie, War of the Worlds.
Yes.
That's what I love about it. There's a great scene in War of the Worlds where Tim Robbins is like, locked in with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise is like, I think we have to kill this guy.
He's going to drive my daughter insane.
So technically, do you think that dinosaurs are still around today, but they're just birds?
Yeah.
Or what about some underground creature? There's another thing.
Well, I don't know about underground creatures.
No, but like, or...
I'm not the underground.
Or like, sea creatures. They say that we've only discovered 10% of
the
sea.
Well, there's so much
like,
out there.
What is down there? What is down there in the deep, deep sea? The 90% of the ocean.
Underground, you know...
Like, what if there is a dinosaur down there?
It's You know what it is?
Maybe it's Loch Ness.
You know what's really happening down there? You know what's really happening down there? Disco.
Disco?
That's what disco parties happen
disco
down
party.
In the deep
That's
deep
where all
seas.
The good stuff is.
Because everyone has all those lights on their head.
Right,
it's
Well, I was actually going to say, like there's that, I don't know what it is, but there's that sea creature that like evolved because it was so deep into the ocean that like it like started developing lights so it could like, just get around.
Exactly,
there's some crazy,
stuff.
How they evolved that through generations, I don't know. Like, so you're saying like the human race is like, all right, you know, it's cold outside. We'll just start producing more fur.
Yeah. No, I think that's...
Someone's just going to be like, I'm going to get more fur.
I think that's valid.
Which is weird because you see, like, at least in my experience, you see a lot more, like, Hispanics with more hair. But they're like, that's down in the heat. I was like, what is it? That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe that's also, like, I mean, that's maybe
does
protection,
that reflect,
from,
is that
maybe
like,
protection
actually,
from the heat.
I did hear that you actually grow, like females, like, their legs, hairy legs. Like, I've heard that... They grow more in the summertime. I don't know why that is.
Interesting.
But I feel like I've heard that.
I mean, that's a form of protection, though, isn't it? Like, really?
Yeah,
like,
I
your body's
so.
Protecting you from, like, the elements.
Then what's going to protect us from the robots, man? Nothing.
I don't know. I mean, like, something in humanity is going to have to get used to, like, technology. And,
we're going to somehow elect a robot.
President. Yeah.
People are like, what the?
Yeah.
They rigged it. They're robots.
I mean, you know, we elect robots for presidents all the time.
That's the main qualification of the job.
That's the main qualification of the job. Just do what the other people tell you to do.
Oh my goodness.
But I give it, if we're going the robot route, I'm giving it at least 200, 250.
250? 250 years?
For annihilation.
Oh, geez. Okay.
We're talking like just clean cut, just roaming robots.
Just robots just roaming the earth.
But what about the rebellion?
Rebellion's going to probably last 5 years.
You mean the human resistance?
Yeah, the human
resistance. That's going to not last very long.
Yeah, I just...
It's going to be great, though. Maybe. Like that first year of the resistance, it's going to be like everyone's going to be all gung-ho. And then we're going to have to see who evolves faster, robots. Mm-hmm. But then there's going to be someone... Like in every other thing, that every other story, that's going to leak information to the robots that turn their back on humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to cause the turning point.
The turning point.
Yeah.
I think go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Because I'm going to go on a whole different tide.
Oh, okay. I think that I do have to say, I think that the last humans will be very primitive humans.
Yeah.
Like,
I think
they're going to be like the rednecks. Like, no, seriously, they're going to outlast. They're going to have their guns ready. Mm-hmm. They're going to have protection already. They're going to have their bunkers ready. They're going to have their food supply ready.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like really primitive cultures, like in Africa, that have like their bow and arrows, like those types of people. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're going to outlast everyone else that's connected to technology. So there goes that.
You think we're going to be the last humans that are going to be Neanderthals?
I mean, literally.
If I was a robot
and I had really bad intentions, first things first, copy all my memory into another hard drive that will start up on its own. Then I will go as a robot, not a human. I will go into everyone's like all the government security, and I will bomb everything and clean it out. Even myself, even the original self, robot, and then my hard drive of backing up my memory will start up again and start my own factory of producing myself,
like Ultron,
like like a robot, god, just cloning everyone in itself, and they eventually they will evolve,
like Ultron. Yeah.
Is that what Ultron was doing?
That's what Ultron always does. Ultron's always like, I'm going to make more of myself.
Is that what
Ultron?
Yeah. Well, it's a great plan, right?
It's a good plan. I mean, it is.
I can tell by Ultron it's not easy to do, but.
Yeah, why not? I have to say, like, this is going to be my tirade earlier. I am disappointed in geek culture.
Really?
I am thoroughly disappointed.
Because the humans? Robots will probably do it better than
humans.
Well,
just because, like, I've had this thought for a while that, like, you know, how we read and interact with fiction has shifted a lot. And I feel like people don't take the lessons from fiction that they the way that they used to. Or maybe it's just like I took lessons from fiction that a lot of people just take at face value. Like, they're just like, oh, this is entertaining, and they just move on. But, like, I watch something like Terminator, or I read something like 1984, or I read something like V for Vendetta, and I'm like, this is warning us about our own futures.
It is.
Like, this is something that you should, like, take seriously.
Yeah, these like, are, know, like, yeah. You know, like, comedians are telling the truth. It's like the same thing with sci-fi. Exactly. Sci-fi is telling us a potential.
It's a warning.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and, like, these dystopias that they are predicting, like, even, you know, even something simple like Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Like, these things are, like, I mean, Blade Runner's not simple. I don't know why I said that. But, like,
Alien?
But, you know, but, like, I mean, at the same time, it's kind of, like, telling us, it's warning us about, like, the direction that we're going.
And then you look around and you're like, we're going there.
We had this, like, big surge, like, in the early 2000s of geek culture, right? The rise of geek culture. Yeah. And, like, you know, it was the most marketable thing in the world. And everybody's, like, you know, like, pushing geek culture. And, like, I feel like the definition of geek culture has shifted. Like, it's changed.
Culture, to me, it's become very vanity-based.
It is. I think it is. And, like, it's become, like, pretty much anything else in mainstream culture. And the reason I say that is because, like, you know, we don't take, like, things like how we interact with technology seriously.
Yeah.
You know? Like, we don't take, like, the warnings from the stuff that we read and we grew up on, like, seriously. Like, I think about, like, my job, I told you, is in social media. I've read people say, like, really racist, sexist things, like, under a post about the X-Men. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just sort of like, did you actually read the X-Men?
Do you know what this is even like, based off of?
Like, you know, I mean, like, just stuff like that. And it's just sort of like, man, we've gotten pretty far away from, like, the stuff that, like, was like, supposed to inform our opinions about things.
Like, the actual, like, motive of making these books, the motivation.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, in the same sense, geek culture... I agree with you on the geek culture, but also because they've rebranded what geek means.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Instead of geek culture meaning, like, even reclaiming, like, oh, Star Trek, sci-fi, comics, now geek culture is literally just like, what are you obsessed with?
Yeah, what are you obsessed with?
What do you like? I'm a car geek. I'm a wrestling geek. Yeah. So they took it and they took it out. You know, just like with grunge music, or they were supposed to be punk, but then they transformed it and made it a process.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I just find that interesting that, like, this shift has happened, and, like, I'm trying to think of the right word right now, but, like, we're not really, like, thinking critically about the stuff we read or the stuff we watch anymore.
Because people want to have a good time, man. They just want to party.
They just want to party.
You think, like, all this technology, just people want everything so easy so they can be, like...
It's going to be like Wall-E.
Well, what's that one where you talk to that tells you your house to, like, open the door?
Now it's Alexa, isn't it?
Yeah, Alexa.
Alexa.
See, like, that's what I'm saying. When I heard that, I heard that commercial. I was like,
turn on the phone.
You can call that Alexa all you want. That's Skynet. I was like, that's Skynet. Well, you don't know how
but it's also that? Like, I know it's not like supposedly recording you. It's only when you say Alexa first, but it's like, it's still listening to you.
That's your
this week also, it's so funny. Like a lot of stuff that I listened to this week was actually about some of this. They were talking about, on the radio, they were talking about how Alexa, apparently like, someone was trying to use like, it wasn't Alexa, I think it was like Google Home or something along those lines. But one of these smart devices that like, you know, you can talk to. They were trying to use it to pinpoint a homicide.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
On somebody.
That, like Arkansas case.
I think so, something like that. And so, like, people were like asking, like, you know, is this okay? Like, you know, but also like these companies that make this technology, are they aware of how this could be used against the consumer?
Yeah.
You know, like, never mind that maybe the guy did it, maybe the guy didn't. I don't know, or whoever it was. I don't know who. Like, I don't know exactly what the homicide was, what the criminal act was, but like. Yeah, I think that's interesting that, like, they're in your home. Like, you know, like, you know, like.
It's like you clicked I approve.
Yeah. It's like you like, and like, I'm sure like most of us, like you see the license agreement, you're like, ah, agreement.
Yeah. You're like, this is more than two
paragraphs. They're just like,
everything
is making everything so simpler for me. Yes. Just, they're giving up all their freedom for a simple life.
For a simple life.
And my thought on like.
And is it really more simpler?
Yeah, I don't think it is.
See, this is what I think is like whenever.
Or you're eliminating choice.
Yeah.
You're limiting choice in a lot.
You're also like getting rid of exercise. If you're like, turn on the light, you know, it's like, why can't you just walk and go flip the switch? Like, how hard is that?
I've had this conversation with my buddy. I have my housemate, Mirza. Like, he has Cortana in his home, and he's like, why don't you get one for your Xbox? I'm like, I can turn the TV on, man. It's okay. It's not a big deal.
It's like, do I really need a servant?
But also, I'm like, it barely works. Like,
I don't think I would want that, though, you know, like, I guess it might help if you're disabled or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's hard to get around or something. Like, that might help. But, like, at this point in my life, do I really need, like, to talk to something to, like, tell it to do things for me?
Do I need to hit the easy button on life all the time?
Yeah, it's just not for me.
You know, people grow up, you know, really just wanting to have just want to be rich and fat.
I know. And, like, I know that, like, that's what this is appealing to, but... I don't get it.
They even have smart refrigerators now that, like, I guess there's a camera inside your refrigerator. So if you're at shopping, it will tell you, like, you don't have any eggs. Like
well, I see.
It's like,
why wouldn't you know that?
But, like, you know what I mean? Or, like, maybe it will, like, already reorder it for you and then, like, Peapod can come and deliver it to you.
Did I tell you? I did see that, like, you know, when you sent me that link on that about that robot, then there was I think a Japanese or a Korean or Chinese ad. A commercial that basically had like an anime character inside of like a glass that had like a hologram of a character that is like Alexis, but it's a physical visible thing that would wake you up like hi, and it's waving to you, and then would say like,
I don't want anybody waking me up like that.
No, like, are you?
I would punch that thing in the face.
No, but like the way they treat it, like the end tagline for this ad was like. I don't forget. It's in Japanese, but the end says like, "You'll never be alone."
See, that character will
like make coffee for you. Like, it controls your house, and then it can also text you on your phone saying like, "How are you doing? How's the job?"
Oh my god!
Has your whole schedule? But then it's you know, it's a cute little like anime character in like a glass. In Beauty and the Beast with the rose inside
this,
that.
This all that's so
it turns
crazy.
It turns on its light, like turns on your house light before you get there.
Yeah.
And they had a shot like, it's like someone's waiting for me. Yeah, like someone's always waiting for you.
Ew. That just gives me the creeps.
You
that's
know what
literally
it is,
what
though?
It was,
it's like
though.
People don't like to be lonely. There's a handful of people I think that are like kind of sad, lonely people out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like they don't want to actually deal with real human relationships go out and get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever they want, you know. And it's like, dude, you need to learn how to be human.
Yeah.
You need to learn to be human.
You need to learn to be human.
That's actually what's going to happen.
That should be my tagline. That's my new book.
But that's
learn
a new class.
Human.
That's going to be a new class in high school. Learn to be human.
Learning to be human. God, that probably will be. Eventually that's going to have to happen.
As humans, like 101, interacting with each other.
Oh, man.
I will write that book, How to Be Human. Because people really don't talk to each other. When there's a conflict, they hide. I mean, some people are confrontational, and some people are a little bit too much confrontational.
Right, right.
I mean, you're never going to be a perfect person when it comes to that type of thing. But, you know, if there's an issue that's bothering you, you need to find a clever way to bring it up with somebody. You can't just, like, hide away in your apartment
all day.
Right,
that's why the robots will win, because the robots are like, compute, done.
Well, you know, and actually, I've just something that, like, in the last like year or so, I've actually come to appreciate is like I want the confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and
it solves problems. Doesn't it?
It solves problems, and like I think that maybe people don't like that feeling.
They don't like that feeling. Like, I feel like something bad's gonna happen.
I feel like that's a generational shift that like I just can't gel with. Like we're getting way off the subject here, but like
the human race.
If we don't accomplish this, then mm-hmm. the human race will disappear.
Right, yeah,
exactly. We're trying to save the humans.
But I want the confrontation. You know, like I actually was this morning. We were talking about BAM. One of the best things that ever happened with Jay and I was like, Jay and I would like just argue out a point.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you know, it's just like week to week. Like, we meet every week and I'll meet him tomorrow and we'll talk about the comic and I'll be like, you know, he'll be like, well, I think like we should change this to this. And I'm like, well, we can't change that to this because 2 pages from now, this is going to happen. And he'll be like, well, what if we do this? Like, we can't do that because, you know, but we're having a conflict and we're talking about it face to face. And honestly, we usually end up resolving it within 5 minutes.
That's good. But you're also having a conversation.
And we're also having a conversation.
So a discussion.
And some people just don't even know how to go about that.
Some people don't know how to react to being told no.
Yeah.
Or like, that's not going to work. But why? Right. Or they didn't want to know the why. They're well, I made it up, so it should be good. It's like, not everything you're going to make.
And also, not everything is going to go your way.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, you know,
that's just how life works.
You're just going to have to deal with it. And like, yeah, of course, everyone would love it. It's like, my way. You know, like Sinatra. You're not Frank Sinatra. You know, you can maybe leverage it to try to go your way most of the time, but it's hard. So mm-hmm. you need to compromise and.
That would be the interesting thing is like maybe that's really what's gonna. I mean, if you think about it, that's really what's gonna cause the end of the human race. It's communication breakdown.
Yeah. I think Carolyn really tapped into something right there because like you talk about you need to compromise. That's part of being human. And like I think that not to get too political, but like with the recent events, like you know especially in America, like we're at this point now where people are like we just don't want to compromise. Yeah. We just don't want to compromise at all.
Because they can't imagine. Well, they see compromise as weakness.
Right. And I want to be clear, like, I'm not even saying that's about the right or the left. I'm just saying, like, I think that's, like, a generational thing that's happening right now is, like, people on the left don't want to compromise. People on the right don't want to compromise.
Definitely.
Everybody wants to sit in their little pocket and, like, you know, talking that we hear a lot about echo chambers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just agree with each other. Just agree with me. Just agree with me. And I think that in itself is actually going to be one of the things that's going to undo us as a human race.
It's also what's going to produce weak-minded people.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I mean,
how do you make a muscle? How do you grow muscle?
You got to work it out, man.
Yeah. You got to break it down and then it will grow.
And I mean, like, there's a lot of weird things that, like, you know, I talk about geek culture and, like, the lessons we learn. But I think that, like, all the stuff that I grew up loving, like, as a kid, I feel like have taught me different things about myself and what I should expect from life. And, like, I think that, like, you know, like you said, with, like, we were talking about wrestling earlier, you know, you gotta work it out, man.
You gotta work it out.
You know, like, you gotta get in there and, like, take the bumps.
You do.
You know, I mean, like, I mean, that was one of the things I appreciated about wrestling growing up was, like, you know, okay, this guy has to job a lot before he gets over. Like, you know, like the Stone Cold story is one of my favorite stories because it was like they kept disrespecting him and he was just sort of like, but I can get myself over. And they were like, ah, no, go do something else.
Yeah.
But eventually he was like, well, I'm going to get myself over, you know?
But you have to get the motivation to do it too.
The Rock is like the best, to me, The Rock is like the best success story of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so like, you know, I say all that to say, you know, the adversity makes a huge difference. And like, if you're against adversity or you just want to like, you know, hide in the corner and get away from it, you know, there's a lot of people, especially like, I say this generation, and I don't necessarily even mean millennials. I just think there's something that's happening collectively because of the internet.
People
who are just alive right now.
Yeah.
Like, the current humans.
Like, people just want to hide in their corners and like they just do. not deal with conflict.
The 2017 human.
If somebody like has an opinion that you disagree with, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad or wrong.
No, not
it's
at
just
all.
Like, let people have a different opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes the world actually great, in my opinion. You know, like, and not if everyone was the same, it would be super boring.
Yeah, very boring. And incredibly boring.
And then along the lines of the election, Dave Chappelle said, did you watch his SNL monologue?
Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, he was like, you know, we need to give Trump a chance, but also he needs to give us a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like a lot of people are already, like, smashing Trump, and I'm like, he's not even in office yet.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I know they're upset.
Well, I mean, like,
they have the right to be upset.
I know people that, like, I'm sorry. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, it hasn't started yet. At least, I mean, he might not be your president,
mm-hmm.
but... you got to at least give him a chance. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he is, I don't know. To me, he's like the president of this current day because you know, he's a reality TV star. Yeah. I know it sounds so silly, but that's what we're aiming at. That's why, you know how you were saying that computer-generated Twitter account? Yeah. It's like...
This is what we asked for.
This is what it has come to.
And I've seen... I probably haven't seen nearly enough articles pointing that out, that, like, you know... he was a reality TV star. Like, I associated Donald Trump with, like, WWF.
I did, too. Growing up. The whole time, like, we were saying that he's basically, like, a Vince McMahon politician.
I'm like, dude, he's working the heel angle. The more you're a heel, eventually, you're going to get over as a face.
And actually, if you think about it from that angle, it doesn't hurt as much.
And let's be honest. In the grand scheme of the universe, the grand scheme of the universe and the fate that we live in right now, everything that everyone has done, in the whole entire world, or all, you know, everything that all the humans have done has led us to this moment.
To this moment. No, and I think that's true.
So that's why the humans will die.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we're doomed.
All right, but real quick to wrap this up.
There are some awesome people in the world. I just want to say.
Three of them are right here.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't know. Two of them are right here. No, I'm pretty evil right now. I'm very evil minded.
I thought you were excluding me.
I'm just saying, find the people that work for you and live life.
All right, so to start a
human resistance there.
To do a final round trip on this one, since the question was when and how many years. What? All right, we'll just start.
I'm going to say 1 billion.
1 billion years? That's when the human race is going to end?
I don't know. It's just
you got to be final. Yeah, we have with the answering this. We must give a final answer.
I'm going to say 1 billion.
1 billion years. Oof. All right, Troy. How many years do you say?
I don't even
numbers?
Know how much that is, but it's a large number.
Jeez, 1 billion.
I guess we should say we can't have the same answer.
Well, how many years has the universe been a universe?
Oh, the universe and the planet is a different thing.
Right.
How many years has Earth existed?
Billions of years.
Yeah. I don't know, zillions. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I know what the Jurassic Park posters told me, like dinosaurs for 65 million years.
Yeah.
And then we're after that. So
okay, after that. I'm just going to stick with 1 billion. I don't even know how much that is. Anyway, Troy,
Mesopotamia. How many?
We're not drift. Scientists, guys.
When is the human race going to end? How long do we have? Troy.
Oh God, jeez! I pluck a number out of the top of my head.
We have to have a definitive answer.
Oh man, I think we'll survive Trump.
What's the so we're gonna? That's not an answer. Like, when is the
four,
end?
4 years.
When's so, the end? When are you prophesizing this end will happen?
The end.
When you do the math in your head,
you know the ending of the human race is 65 million years.
65 million, and Carolyn has 1 billion. Look at that! You guys have a lot more faith than my 200.
You got a 200-year plan.
200 years.
200-year plan.
So bad. We're like at the end. Then this is the end game. Right here.
Can't you sense? Or at least know. Like that's.
I still
three
feel like we got a lot more to go.
Three lifetimes.
That's the last gasp.
That's about three lifetimes.
That is.
You really it's think three it's, lifetimes? Oh,
well, you know one thing.
You're
we're
taking
not
the opposite
out.
End.
No, but then
of
we're
me.
But then we're getting switched by robots.
But then one thing you're not ruling out is one thing could happen before the robots show up. We could just dip out and go to Mars.
That's true. She said Earth.
200 years.
Right? She said human race on Earth. I don't know.
No, she didn't.
Just in general?
She's just human race. So
human
race. Humans can still live on another planet.
Live. We'll just be on like our little
It's going to be like Guardians of the Galaxy. Just it's like one or two
We'll be on our little Deep Space Nine thing floating through the universe.
We made it out of here.
I like this on like a Jeopardy level though because you went on the... on the low end, and I went on the high end.
Right.
So it's like, and you're in the middle.
I'm in the middle. There you go.
So it's like, it's going to go either way.
So somewhere around there.
This is like that, what is it?
So
not
it's
kind of
like anyone could win.
That's
Jeopardy.
Like Wheel of Fortune.
No, it's
style.
Jeopardy.
Isn't it
when you have to have your amount at the end on the blue screen?
What's the one with Drew Carey? Would you say the
Wheel of Fortune?
Family Feud? No, Price is Right.
That's the Price is Right. Where everyone's like, okay, so how much do you think this car costs? Like $1. This would cost $2,000.
So the end of the human race costs. That's all.
So we can hope it doesn't. It's not that I don't win. How about
right.
that?
Yeah. Let's
but
just
you
hope
know what?
Judge wrong.
I feel like we're all gonna live our life.
Yes.
Yes.
So we don't have anything to really worry about when it comes down to it.
Even if we don't, and if it does end in our lifetime, let's live today.
Mm-hmm. Unless we live forever and get some crazy
armor
that's like
yeah, there you go.
Become a vampire
alien,
and just
alien.
Live forever.
Vampire. Or I'll be like Iron Man. We'll just have a little arc reactor in our chest and just keeping us alive forever.
I don't even know if I want to do that.
Yeah, but you know what's Troy, you know what's going to happen after that?
Huh?
You turn into a robot, sir.
I know. That's the first step.
Cyborg just starts being
transhumanism.
Yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Troy.
No problem, man.
I thought that was awesome. You. We worked the hell out of that question. That's how it's going to go down.
I didn't think I was getting a lot of juice out of that, but it kept unfolding.
Where can we find you real quick?
You can find me every day pretty much at actionagogo.com. I'm the managing editor there. We talk about everything action related, if it's action comic book, like in the action genre. So action adventure, action sci-fi, action horror, action. If it blows up, we talk about it.
Nice.
And you can find me every Wednesday at bamcomics.com, BAMNCOMICS. Yeah. .com.
There you go.
There you go. Oh, and I'm at TJA Comics, on Twitter.
Sweet. Sweet. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at StrayProductions.com. Check out my work at JoeCarabeo.com. Also, GoAstray.tumblr. Check out my band, MondayMistress.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
I have a website. It's CarolynBilewski.com. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at CarolynBilewski. And I have a comic strip called Curls, and you can read it at curls-studio.com/curls.
And, of course, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, CarolynJoeShow.com. Troy, awesome to have you on, sir.
Thank you, guys.
And we're gonna see you next week.
We're gonna survive.
Keep on sending us those questions. We are gonna answer it, as we proved in today. But of course, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
Yeah.